Why is that on? Wait. Wait, let's try that again. Live from the 6th floor basement of the Guys Games of Beer Tower. It's the podcast with all the Halloweenies. Guys, games, and beer.
Yeah!
Happy Halloween.
The Yeti was Halloween. Off. Remember we...
Oh, that's right.
Happy Halloween.
Silver Shamrock.
It is Halloween week, and we are going to try this again. Wait a minute.
Take two.
It was decoding his voice, so that it couldn't have been off.
It was off.
Oh, weird. All right, well, whatever. Okay, so, hey.
Now it's there.
You Rob, now, there. Now that it's the week of Halloween, in fact, it's like 2 days from Halloween, man. So, everybody did their Halloween parties last weekend, of course, so that was cool.
Well, the adults did. They all got crazy, and the children looked at them like, what are you doing?
Hey, the slutty garbage can is the best costume ever.
Yeah.
So,
slutty girl, you?
Yes. Oh, any Muppet, whenever you do any sexy Muppet, it's just wrong.
I know.
Sexy Muppet.
I saw a sexy Yip Yip. You know, the aliens that go yip.
Yeah.
It was just a person wearing the outfit with
like leggings.
What is like?
What?
I know.
Who thought that? What?
And I just went, you're giving me such complex. To quote Alistair in Helsing Ultimate Abriv, yes, the return of the Y boner.
Why?
I kind of feel that about what the sexy Stormtrooper and sexy Darth Vader.
Okay. I'm okay with them. I have a problem with childhood memories.
That was a childhood memory too.
Because, you had... the Princess Leia thing going on.
You know what? Yeah, that makes it worse. In a way,
makes it better.
It's sexy your childhood?
Hey, my childhood was sexy. Thank you very much.
Okay, hey, Rob. So Halloween
coming up. At least so my uncle says.
Ow! Hey, I love all the sexy Velma Dinkley outfits.
Yep, I'm good with that, too.
All right, so
Velma's... I mean, it makes sense, right?
Because she'd be the one.
She Right, I know. But Stormtroopers were not ever meant to be sexy or anything.
Just going to say that burlesque show kind of changed your opinion of that, though, didn't it?
I know. It was like,
2D Godhead-y Star Wars.
I was going to say burlesque show. Oh, yeah. Those change your opinions all the time.
Yeah. Well, it was like,
went to one
dark,
of those, and it changed my opinion.
Yep. Mm. All right, okay, so... Rob, Halloween's coming up Thursday. What are we talking about tonight, Rob?
My lost childhood. We're talking about the games that made us go boo. Think about it for a minute, you'll get it. Anyway,
You know, I'm gonna start out because I don't have much to say, but I will say a lot.
All right,
later.
I'm surprised.
Sure I'm sure I'll have a lot to say eventually.
Yeah,
but it depends on how many of these beers I finish. The
all of them.
Hey, no. Just leave
that.
Where'd
that come from? That
I love that. Just don't touch that fucker.
Well, if you're listening to this show expecting a whole lot about gaming,
here's the thing. So games that scare me and admittedly, and this is just like, I can't believe it'd be anybody's choice at this point, so I hope I'm not robbing anything. But yes, Five Nights at Freddy is pretty freaky.
It's pretty freaky.
It's got a lot of jump scares and stuff like that.
Yeah.
But here's the thing. I just don't play them. So I don't have a very long list or really a list at all.
Yeah.
Because I just don't play them. I don't want to be jump scared. Granted, in the VR world, it's always going to jump square you, but you might be playing, sandwich making, and you'll still get a jump scare.
That's not, you turn around and that piece of bologna is behind
you. Like, what the hell? So, the closest I come to many scary games is Overcooked 2, where the bread monsters are coming from you, so it's not really scary, but it's in the Halloween theme, so
Larry, I'm similar to you of I don't play scary games because I don't want to be scared, but yet I had two games for this that I thought, okay, I could try again. Because maybe I've matured and been able to, you know, conquer the fear that used to scare me. I thought I would be able to do Doki Doki Literature Club because, you know, I can deal with psychological horror.
Now, that one's come up a few times in this segment over the years.
Yeah. Some of that stuff in there has actually made me go, wow, I really should stop playing this because this is really causing me some mental issues that I'm having to deal with.
Yeah.
I thought because I can handle psychological horror stuff fairly well, but you're fucking with me here.
It's just a quality dating sim.
Yeah. And then,
until it's not.
Then, I took a stab back at Bioshock 1.
Nice.
And realized that I've played Bioshock. I've played Bioshock, Bioshock Infinite, Bioshock 2.
Wait, I'm going to back up. So, Doki Doki does bother you.
Oh, yeah. Doki Doki does bother me.
Okay.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Doki Doki bothers me because I was like, I was playing through it and getting through it. I was like,
probably 2 years
some
ago.
Some problems.
Travis bring up that game on this show for this segment.
Yeah.
Halloween segment. And so I played it and I'm playing it. And I did no real research or anything like that. So I went in it pretty raw. And
that's the way to go with that game.
It is a good
plan.
But here's the thing. I saw Markiplier play it. I thought I knew what I was getting myself into.
And to be honest, like so much of the game is like no, that's not right. You know, and then it takes a turn. And
it's subtle turns until they decide to just go
full turn.
Yeah. It's little things that are like slightly disturbing that you go, I must have missed something here. And then they're like, hi.
The happy ending is still pretty terrible.
Yeah.
So anyways, yeah. Okay. You know.
But I had a problem with Bioshock 1 before of just how they would make everything where there are points where things just suddenly go black. You can't see anything. And then there's noises off in the background and whatnot. Thought maybe not playing it with headphones on. Maybe, you know, setting the brightness up a little higher might work. Be able to actually get to play the game. No, they don't care. And that I still resorted to my standby, which I had back maybe about 7 to 10 years ago, where the lights go out and there's giggling noises and people scurrying around. Just throw fireballs everywhere. Hopefully I can light someone up and then have light so that way I can then handle the situation like a rational adult.
After I burn everybody.
Hey, I need a torch to be able to see where I need to start swinging this axe or this gun around.
Agreed.
But yet when I can't see anything, I just hear people approaching and laughing and or moving around.
Oh, yeah, that's always...
No, I'm just going to start...
Unsettling.
I'm wasting so much mana or plasmid or whatever it is to just throw fireballs everywhere, hoping I light someone on fire so that way I can start handling this.
Yeah.
Not in a panic.
The only thing you did was warm your feet.
Effectively.
All right, Tyler, how about you? What you got?
I got a game I've talked about before, but it's topical because it was just released today.
Oh.
On Xbox and now has cross-platform support. So it is a scary game, but it's also a really good game to play with your friends. Now that's cross-platform, because it's a good game where you can fuck with your friends as well. So, Phasmophobia.
Yes!
I still play this game regularly with my friend Brad, and it is a lot of fun. Basically, the whole premise is you go to a house or a school or whatever the map you choose is, and you have to identify what the ghost is using the equipment available. Now, different things can happen. You can have different type of ghosts with different abilities and stuff. Like, one that I always thought was interesting is the Raiju, which is a ghost that if it starts hunting you and you have electric equipment on, it gets to run faster around that towards you.
I love watching people play this. Yes. The Gokai or whatever, the one that adds...
The
that
extra finger?
Yeah. That shows six fingers on a handprint, and I'm just like, this is a game where I'd love to watch it, but I know I would never be able to play it.
Because, and you can make custom games as well for different rules. One of the ones we like to try to do, even though we kind of fuck it up sometimes, is no evidence. So all the evidence you can use, like you can get like, oh, EF reading of level 5 or whatever. You can't use that. You get nothing. You just have to guess the ghost based on the patterns that they do. And it can be pretty difficult, actually, because some of the ghosts can be very similar.
Aren't there like 15 ghosts?
I can't remember the total. It was like 20 or something like that. Yeah. But like the Banshee will only hunt if you're in a group of one person.
Right.
So like you could literally be walking around the ghost and the ghost is still just going after your friend. So, but it's a lot of fun. And like they have the cursed objects in the game that you can use like to mess with your friends, because you can wish for things with a monkey's paw, but it can also bite you in the ass. You can...
I would assume the monkey paw would.
It always does. The atmospherics in the game are great, too.
Yeah.
So you know this game.
The odds of you actually...
It was released today. How does everybody know
this game? The game
came out in 2020 on the PC.
Oh. Now
just released today for Xbox.
With crossbow.
With crossbow.
So you can play against PC players on the Xbox.
I think it's just Xbox. I can't remember if it's also the PlayStation.
It's not PlayStation because I've looked.
Well, it would have been.
But I assume on the Switch.
No.
Yeah, but no, it's a lot of fun.
What do you mean it has to be on the Switch?
It is one of those games too. You have to. It's best to play with someone who does know the game, and you have to give it a few tries first before it's fun. Because when Brad tried to get me to first play, I was like, I am fucking bored. I don't know what's happening. But once I started understanding the way it goes, like, okay, this is a lot more fun. And again, just trying to kill your friends is fun.
It's always fun.
And make sure to take a picture of the body so that way you can submit it for insurance.
Of course.
Because if you don't, you don't get any money for your friends dying, so you might as well at least take a picture of their shame. So
that's
that way...
right, of their shame, yes, thank you.
One tip if you do want to kill your friends, the best way to do it is if you have the music box on the level, you stand outside the door, you start playing it, you throw it to the ground while it's playing, instantly starts a hunt, but you're outside, so you're safe.
I will mention, I think I mentioned it before, it's an older game, so maybe we got some newer viewers or in that. Phantasmagoria is pretty intense.
Yeah, it is
intense. It's one of the first sort of, it's a pretty extensive motion capture game.
Yeah.
And I mean, in the end, it's a point and click, right?
Yeah.
It really does a nice job of building and delivering an ending.
And it has a good atmosphere. I mean, like I said, it all hangs together well. It plays very well. So
it's a good one. But it truly caught me off guard. Once it got to a certain point, it caught me off guard. It was like, whoa, what the hell? What?
It gets rough.
Yeah. All right. Well, I'm gonna actually do two here. I'm gonna do one that I think actually was one that you wouldn't play in the dark. Resident Evil on the PlayStation. It set such a nice, just the sounds. And again, you have to remember this is the early days of doing that. The scenery, the jump scares in it. If you played that in a dark room, it was kind of thank you for its time.
Does it still hold up? See, like Phantasmagoria still holds up.
Yeah, no, right? Evil still holds up. The graphics are a little dated, but the gameplay and the overall atmosphere it sets is still pretty freaking solid.
I didn't get into Resident Evil until the second one actually, and
which
even
is also a
very good one. But again, specifically the sound. Yes, the sound was very good in those games.
The
fire and stuff in the buildings, especially in the first one where we start off with the car crash.
Uh-huh.
It's so good. And right away, the fucking zombie's coming right at you.
Wasn't there in there that they had during the loading screens where the door opens?
Oh, yeah.
Yes, sometimes zombies would come up and get you.
Yep.
So therefore,
You couldn't just, like, put it down and answer something while there was a loading screen. You needed to be paying attention.
Uh-huh. All right. So, Rob, I'm going to ask you if you remember. So, let's jump back a little bit. So, the scary games have been around for a while. But, you know, in all honesty, early video games, they didn't do a lot with scares.
They really did. I mean, it's tough. I mean, it is spooky. Or at least, let's call it horror theme. Like, Haunted House was a horror theme, right? You know, but it wasn't particular to scare. The graphics weren't real enough and all that. But it was still fun.
It wasn't like, oh my God, this is kind of creepy. Rescue on Fractalus.
Oh my God, yeah.
Thank you.
Never forget that fucking alien banging on your window made me jump every time.
So this was like, what year was that?
Oh, it was in the 80s.
It was like mid-80s.
It was when LucasArts.
I'm guessing it's 64.
Awesome stuff, yep.
Yeah.
What was it called?
Rescue on Fractalus.
There was a remake of it, by the way, that you can get on the PC.
Yeah, what year was that? That was a, like Rob said, it's just, so you're rescuing people, and one time an alien just, it does freak you out, because it's a jump scare. Man. And it's an early jump scare. I mean, you know, this was when games didn't do a lot of that kind of shit. So,
that jump scare?
Yeah.
Is it the guy? That jump scare.
It makes this bunk noise. Yeah. Oh, it's just,
Yeah, and it was completely out of the, you know, yeah, so it was not bad. But, I mean, you know, for 85, that was kind of scary. So
Doom was mentioned. Ruler said Doom. By the way, Hydro.
We're parsing, right? So there's stuff that's gory, and there's stuff that, but gory stuff doesn't particularly scare me. Doom didn't really scare me in the sense of, it was, everything was gooey and
Doom would jump scare.
You know, there wasn't a lot of...
Hey, John!
Duke Nukem. You know, there was creepy stuff, and monsters were coming at you and stuff. But there wasn't this so creepy factor that...
Yeah.
You know, and I brought this up before. I mean, I had to quit playing Legacy of Kain because I couldn't tolerate it anymore, right? You know, it was like, you know, there was so much creepiness and but it didn't really scare me, you know. It didn't, there was no boo factor to it, but it was like, this is enough.
Put you in a bad place.
Yeah. I was losing humanity playing it, you know. And Doom, I could see where you might start losing humanity or something like that.
That's probably true.
But probably not a lot of boo.
Only when you're like coming around a corner and it's like, fuck!
Larry, that's the same way I feel when I played Doki Doki. Was I'm like, I'm going the wrong way. And then when you do in Bioshock 2, when I was playing that, and you start harvesting the little girls, I started just feeling like, something in me was being ripped.
Well, I mean, that was the Legacy of Kain, and I talked about this on a podcast a million years ago. We've been doing it so long. Everywhere you went, there were people chained to the walls basically waiting for you, so because you're a vampire. And so you can feed on them, right? And they're just sitting there begging, you know, let me go, don't eat me, you know. They're just begging, and you just kill them, you know. And it was just
you didn't
like,
have to, Larry.
You know, I mean.
I look forward to it.
I tried to avoid it, but I couldn't also free them either. Like, I couldn't, like, walk up and, like, I don't know, like, cut their chains and let them go. You know, which would have been a nice additive. Like, if I was full health, you know, like, I could let some of them go.
Later.
But it would have made me feel good, you know?
Hey, and I was like, doing my first Renegade run on Mass Effect because I told Kim, create me a character and tell me how to run this character. And she went, okay. You know, I think it was, what was it? Dang it, I can't remember the song, but
She was like, here, this is the song. I want you to play it like this.
Kumeya?
No. Oh.
Well, I guessed of the 10 songs right. available in existence.
Hey, we're heading towards off-topic penalties.
Yes, we are. So let's, Rob, you better bring us back around.
All right, bring it back around. I got two, I guess. The first one's going to be Dread Halls.
Ooh.
Yeah, and the Oculus.
I forgot about that one. Oh. So
yeah, probably you blocked it.
I probably home. Did, because, so, that was on the original Oculus.
Yeah, you can still get it.
Like, yeah, even if you had
one. You can definitely get it, and I've looked at it several times because...
On the development system.
Because Phantasmagoria and Seventh Guest were so kind of interesting, and it seemed like this was in this vein, and I thought,
it was, but you know what
veered me away from it.
Another good one. You saw
it, and you could, you know what veered me away from it is all the screenshots felt empty.
That's exactly why it's scary as fuck.
It really is, because it is empty.
Almost everything that is going on to you is going on in the corner of your vision or audio. I'm telling you what, you turn the fuck around and you see the little girl fuck that.
No.
So JJ was playing.
Yeah.
The JJ story. So JJ is, we were doing it, I think, for Halloween, wasn't it?
Yeah, I think we were. So Rob was an early backer of VR.
The whole gang
did. I mean, we all got into VR very early. So when the very first VR commercial VR sets were being kickstarted, we all kind of
DK kits.
The yep. DK kits. Yes, beautiful. Thank you. They were beautiful. I still have all my DKs. So this was one of the first games I think we got on it. It was one of the earlier games we got on it, and it was
not ready.
No, not ready for that.
It was basic bitch graphics. You were walking around. Oh, it was
very basic graphics.
Empty, but when something happened, it was really good at catching the edge of your vision, which is one of the scariest things you can do. Something horrible at the edge of your vision. You turn, maybe it's there. No, maybe the first three times it's not there. But the fourth damn time you turn, that thing is getting your shit, and you are freaking out. So JJ's playing. And he's like, you can tell. He's sweating. You know he gets. He gets kind of jittery. And he's like, just.
Yeah, I'm sure all the audience.
Yeah, he yelps a couple of times.
Yes.
He yelps a couple of times. So he stands in there. And then the little girl comes up. He turns in. And he goes, ah! And that's it. He took the headset off.
He was done.
Sat down. He said, I'm done. That's it. I'm
enough of that.
And it does horror in a way that I think VR tries to do, and it doesn't do.
That was on VR.
That's on VR. It's only VR.
And it did horror correct. It's
right. It did.
It does because, scare the crap out of you.
But like you said, you look at the pictures and it's like, oh, it's, you know, kind of big.
Yeah, I mean, it looked empty.
It is.
And it looked empty. And my problem with it wasn't that, like, you might think, oh, there's not much going on. That wasn't my problem with it. It looked lonely.
Yeah. That feeling of isolation.
It is lonely.
That feeling of isolation is intentional.
It's absolutely true. It's lonely.
I didn't want to be lonely. Oh.
Yeah. I don't think playing that game alone is a great idea.
No.
Probably needed
to. So wait. So I totally nailed the game by looking at the
video. Yeah, you did. It's exactly what it's supposed to do.
And I'm not kidding. JJ wasn't wrong. That game is just scary as hell.
Yeah,
no, it really is.
I forgot.
Because I believe.
I completely forgot. About
and
that.
You know, and there's a degree to which it sounds like the game was using Oculus, right? Because one of its premier features is peripheral vision.
Yes.
You know, so being able to utilize
that. Yeah, they did.
And it wasn't even that amazing at it yet. It's just, it was so there.
But they did it. I mean, they got things right in the corner of your eye.
Yeah.
And you go, what the fuck was that?
Yeah. I just found that Tetris demo kind of creepy, too. I don't know why. It really creeped me out. I did not like it.
They were rushing, kept popping up and looking at you.
Creepy as hell. But anyway, I got one more, and it's also a VR, because I think VR...
Oh,
all right. I actually play a lot of games in the dark that have kind of got me, but I've mentioned them before. So this is one, too. Robo Recall, and it's not scary throughout most of the game. It's the beginning that utterly hoses you up.
Okay.
And I actually did take off the headset. I said, because Darlene said I screamed. Darlene's like, what the hell? Because I screamed out loud. So you're
all right. Hold on.
Come on, man.
He's dying on this beer over here. What's
not
wrong
good?
With it?
Juicy.
It's juicy.
All right, sorry. Go
the ahead. Real horror is that beer.
It's juicy.
So, Robo Recall at the beginning. This is a VR. You start, and you can't move, but you can look around. You're looking in to a store window, and there's TVs in the store window, right? And it's just covering the news. They're just talking, and a couple of robots kind of walk up, slightly in front of you, but another one to the side. And an emergency news flash comes on that, the robots have gone crazy in District whatever, 3.
Well,
and
they turn and looking.
And it's going.
Oh, sorry.
So anyway...
Experience.
So anyway, it's going on, and then the robots go, "That's terrible. I would never harm a human being." And then some more pop up, and they're all looking at the screen. There's like now there's like 8 to 10 of them, looking at the screen, going, "This is terrible. This is the worst thing I've ever heard. I cannot believe anyone would do that to a human being." And then like the screen flashes a little bit, and then they just stop for a second, and they all turn around and look right at you. And jump. Fuck that! That I wonder how many people died because of that game. It is like one of the most realistic like games. Like just during that part, it's nearly photorealistic. It really feels like you're just there with it.
Oculus managed to immerse in a way that a lot of us have hoped for and didn't think would happen. And
I've been hoping since the Victor Max.
Even though you're missing a lot of other senses with it, it does such a good job with its visuals. That it really can elicit a lot of responses.
It can. It does something really right, and it's always like people thought, it's going to take over the whole market. No, it's its own thing.
It's its own thing, and it's specific, and I feel like it's perfectly reasonable to have like an Oculus and another console.
Well,
probably the Switch.
Probably.
It should always be the Switch.
All right. So, next week's Beer Court.
Next week is Beer Court.
We got a little time off where Guys Games of Beer is not on the road.
Yes.
Woo! So, if you enjoyed our international tour, contact the venues and the promoters and let them know.
That you want to see us back.
And maybe we will be.
Good
chance. You say those guys are worth a cool million.
No, yeah, say, yeah. Say, God, whatever they cost, make sure you pay it to have them out.
Yeah, love of God.
Because,
Hey, if I don't have to worry about bills and or whatever,
I'll
be able to come more because, I may be working in a good job that's actually paying me decently for 3 years now. But yet, I still got a lot of bills and debt to pay, and I can't come out to all of them. So,
Guys, Games of Beer is a huge deficit for everybody involved.
So, hey.
We do love coming out. If it was something that you found valuable and you saw us out at an event, just let that con know.
Our operators are standing by 1-800.
Hey, they should,
for just 55 cents a day,
they should get rooms.
You can support.
They do a speed donation.
Member. They should get their rooms
comped. Look for our Patreon page.
That would be nice.
Which we don't have.
Which we don't have.
All right, hey, so, guys, next week in Beer Court,
I shouldn't look for it. I didn't see anything behind it.
Really, do we still have a special beer for next week? For beer court?
Well, it keeps getting pushed back and pushed back. And,
not anymore.
Well, now
it's in there.
I still have it. Oh, never mind. I still have the special beer for the guys, because we already tried it.
Yeah, we did.
We already
got
a little
these
bit.
These guys have got to try it.
What was it? What was it? Lafian?
It's a Lafian?
Lafian? A Lafayette?
Lafian?
No. Lafian?
Lafia. But what would Lafian?
Lafian?
Lafian. Well, whatever.
Lithuanian.
Lithuanian farmhouse.
I was just saying Lithuanian.
Lithuanian farmhouse. No, I had a few beers. Okay. So I had to get there. So it was a lithium farm.
Lithium. It was a lithium ion beer. Lithium.
And let me tell you,
everybody dies. Hi, guys.
Somehow they balance it correctly.
I was told I might need to get
lithium. Drink lithium and not die. It's amazing. No, it's not that.
No, it's a Lithuanian
farm ale, which we have tried, and we did a short beer court on at Game Hole Con, but we were so blown away by it that, and more importantly, we were gifted a few cans.
Yeah, because they only make it once a year.
They only make
and
it. Not,
and you can only get it.
More importantly,
and you can only get it at this one Lithuanian.
There was a very limited supply, and we were gifted some, and we thought, you know what? Even though we have tried, a few of us have tried it, we would bring it back to the people that could not be there that day and let them try it, because it was one of the most unusual beers I've ever tried.
It was. I'm going to agree with you. It's probably the most unusual beer we've ever had.
I don't want to taint it. Good, bad.
Unusual.
I'm just going to say it's the most unusual beer.
Hey, that was just kind of like when I went axe throwing and brought the after dinner mix.
Exactly.
I thought you guys should try this beer.
Something so unusual.
I thought it was interesting. But yet I was like, okay, this is unusual. I'm bringing Agra.
That was very unusual, too. All right, that was Peter who gave us the beer. Dark Nebula Games.
Yeah. So.
All right.
So next week, that's going to be the beer that we're going to do. So.
Yeah, sounds good.
So you've listened to another episode where the exit is longer than the actual show itself.
Yep.
You can check us out. By the way, there's so much value in listening to Guys Games and Beer. Like, if you're a podcaster out there, you know how not to do a podcast. If you're a gamer, you know how not to play games.
We're gonna exit.
Alright. Anyway. Pull out. This is every episode brought to you by Light Racing. All the joys of fucking racing without the rubber hot dogs. You choose on www.guysgamesandbeer.net. If you're interested in checking out Guys Games and Beer's work, check out YouTube.com/guysgamesandbeer. And if you're listening to this on any of the podcasting places, you are getting a much better version of this than edited out in the beginning. By we, I mean me. Damn it. All right, we'll see you guys next week.
Later on.